This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So, you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Interesting.
I don't think that's going to catch on with this soccer audience.
I don't know, but like a Dolly. You know who they're trying to who they're trying to get, right? Right, for the Super Bowl next year. That's right. I remember now. They're trying to get Miley Cyrus for the Super Bowl. And I think Miley would be awesome for the Super Bowl. I think she's going to bring them what they want to bring, which she's going to bring the show, right? She's going to bring the show, and I think she's going to bring a lot of cameos. That's what people want from the Super Bowl halftime show. She's going to have recognizable songs.
Yeah.
She's going to bring the stunt. She's going to do some type of stunt, and she's got her friends she's going to bring out, whether it's going to be Dolly. I think she'd bring Dolly out. I think you'd see if you're going to see Dolly at the Super Bowl next year if Miley's doing it, my early prediction. That's great. She was great at the SNL 50, all that type of stuff. She did I don't know if you saw.
I did. I watched the concert. Well, I've still got an hour left, but I saw Miley open it up.
On the actual SNL 50, she performed the Nothing Compares to You.
The only problem I had with Miley on that was
it wasn't a great performance of it. I'm glad that they did it, but it was not her best.
The woman with the guitar, I was like, that's the star.
She was awesome.
She was,
I can't think of her name.
Shredding.
But she was amazing for that. Miley just didn't do it. She did her own thing, and I respect it. I like Miley Cyrus. I really do. I think she's like that Flowers song was awesome. Grammy Award winner. But that wasn't the song for Miley. You know, that wasn't it. But it was the song that needed to be performed on that special.
I mean, I did not realize this. So you know what the number one tour of last year was? Highest grossing.
Taylor Swift.
Duh.
The Eras tour.
But do you know what was two?
It was not Beyonce's Renaissance tour. It was something else. Adele.
They're counting this because it's still going. I was saying it was Coldplay. But they're taking the whole, like, they're backdating it from 22. Because they're also, I'm trying to think of another one. Like, I almost just wonder, like, will they go like nostalgia act? Like, do you see it? Like, hey, maybe that's Stone's last performance.
But right. Ooh, you know, something like that would be cool. I think you gotta go if you're them though, you want to make the attempt, and really there's that one big name, which is Taylor Swift. I don't think she's going to be doing it. I don't think she will do it.
I think with Taylor, there's a price.
There's a price. You're right. She could maybe do it.
That's the real question for me is, are they going to pay?
But I would, I think they, I would think they would have to, right? The idea, the Super Bowl thing is a very unique. If they want to make a splash, they would try to steal who the NFL would have had. I would not go in the Coldplay direction, but you're right. There's a great chance he will do as Dick Cheney did, which is lead the search and then
an exhaustive search.
Yeah, exhaustive search, and then choose yourself to do it.
But, all right, let's take a quick break. When we come back, news out of the donations to the University of Memphis department. We'll discuss what that could mean. CJ Hertz also going to join us during hour number two. Stick around and listen to Jeffrey Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. Take advantage of Zen Sports NBA Parlay Profit Boost. Make a qualifying three-leg parlay and earn a 20% profit boost up to $250. You can make up to five qualifying three-leg parlays, and you can still take advantage of the 20% profit boost, again, up to $250. Total maximum payout for all parlays is $750. So even if you hit all five, you're still going to get $750, but you can boost it up to 20%, up to $250 on each and every parlay you make. Zen Sports, betting just got better. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. You must be 21 or older and located in Tennessee to bet. Odds are subject to change. Terms and conditions do apply. CJ Hurt going to join us next segment. Before we do that, let's get into the list.
All right, that's also a new level of rich. When you get the middle initial, that's always in there. You know, well, yeah. that speaks highly. This from Jonah Dillon of the Commercial Appeal. The Gary W. and Barbara A. Bryant Family Trust plans to donate $7.5 million to the Memphis Athletic Department, the family announced Wednesday morning. The gift will include a $500,000 leadership grant and a $7 million estate gift. The estate gift is in addition to the $13 million estate gift the family made in 2019 and raises the total to $20 million, the largest such donation in Memphis Athletics history. Quote, Barbara and I believe strongly in obtaining a quality education that opens more doors and opportunities, Gary Bryant said in a statement. We are excited to expand our initial commitment to the University of Memphis Athletic Department to continue to enable future student athletes to earn a great education and excel in their sport at my alma mater. We feel very fortunate to be able to provide a leadership gift for the Simmons Bank Liberty Stadium project and only hope more alumni do the same. Go Tigers go. Jonah continues that the money from the estate gift will be used, quote, at the athletic department's discretion to support the overall vision for Memphis athletics and student athletes, according to the news release. And so, Kevin, in the absence of real information, let's wildly speculate.
All right.
So the first speculation that I saw online, 7 + 13 = 20, which is roughly the expected exit fee out of the American Athletic Conference. Now, I would point out, I would like to know how much of the $13 million that was donated in 2019 hasn't been spent already.
Right.
So, while it could be $20 million in total, we don't know like what the money's going to. It's clearly ambiguous. But would you put any stock into the thought of so begins the exit of the American Athletic Conference?
I mean, you know, if you're a Memphis fan, that's what you want. You want you I guess Jeffrey, what I would ask you, like if you worked so hard and were able to get millions and millions of dollars, so much money that you had enough to donate double digit money.
Eight figures. Yeah.
In of the millions. How much is it total?
So 7 million, and then it seems like the 500,000, I think they bought a box.
Okay. So
at the new stadium.
Okay. So they're donating millions of dollars.
They donated 13 back in 2019 and technically seven and a half today.
But to work so hard and to have so much money that you want to give back, to have your money be used just to fix somebody else's mistakes or whatever that it is of buying out. I mean, how do you view this buying yourself out of the conference? Because it could be nothing, right, is the problem. If you buy yourself out of here and decide to go to the Pac-12, or then you have to pay another exit fee to go to the ACC if that opens up, and that you're just constantly like paying to leave a place, which is like, you know, that's the problem that the Tigers are in, and that's really that's how the situation is set up. But you know, if you have all your money, and that's what it's going to do, but it will make for a better home schedule.
You raise an interesting question, because I think in addition to your question, you're also trying to game out how everything's going to work. So, for instance, the decision that the university had last summer,
yes,
was pretty cut and dry. You were going to have to pay roughly $22.5 million to leave a league, to go to another league that did not have a television deal.
All right, stop it with that, though. I mean, they didn't have one yet. They're getting one.
Right.
They're going to get one.
But I'll tell you this. If they had a really good deal, we'd know.
They're going to get one. But also, I mean, for the record, it's interesting.
But here's the
ties are changing with the baseball TV deal. It's not the TV timeout, but yeah, right, you know, the baseball.
But here's the speculation that you have to do, or here's the game theory that you have to do.
Yes.
Okay. The odds are wildly overwhelming. The ACC's losing teams. Now, there's a path where maybe they don't. But that path...
There's also a path where they lose teams and they don't add Memphis, because we've seen it so many times. We've got to... it doesn't make sense to us, but there is a path where that happens.
If they add teams, I think Memphis is included. But here's the...
But there is a chance Memphis will not be included.
Well, no, there's a path where they don't add teams.
There's also a path where they don't add Memphis.
So to me, here are the three possible.
What other conference could be damaged? You know, another conference could be hurt in this whole thing and have better options than Memphis out there.
So because here are the possibilities, and as the way I see it. Number one, they don't lose anyone. While I think that's unlikely, it's a possibility. I would also argue, though, if that happens, that's actually bad for everyone, because that means probably the path that we're seeing of the diminished value of the TV deals, that's continuing to go. And so the linear system's been blown up. Okay? That exists. I think that's the least likely.
That is a possibility for sure, but is it...
Then you have two other scenarios.
College basketball could be impacted by that, because it is similar to baseball in the regard to that your regular season games really only matter to the people that are in those markets.
Yes. Now, there's two other scenarios. Scenario one, they lose four members and decide to backfill. If that's the case, Memphis winds up, in my opinion, as one of those teams. They'll probably be one of the first teams to have their number called. Now, does that mean they add four teams? I don't know, because they could also be in a situation where, all right, the ACC loses four, but they do the math, we're better off with 10. But Memphis would be in that. The problem, though, is this could be the other scenario that I see possibly playing out. They call up the Big 12 and say, listen, the SEC and the Big 10, it's the power two. Our only chance at relevancy in this world, let's merge. We'll figure out how to make it work. We'll figure out who's in charge later, but we've got to merge. In that scenario, I think Memphis is screwed. The other possibility that I could also
see... That's a very strong possibility, and they're going to have so many teams that even if they lose more, they're probably not adding anymore.
Correct. They'll probably just end up merging. The other scenario...
There's a scenario that there could be an ACC implodes and some of those teams are left out.
Right.
And you kind of get an American Athletic Conference type of a situation where a new conference emerges that has left the best of the leftovers.
Correct. So to me, the third one is you get into this scenario where everyone starts looking around, because we kind of saw this with the Pac-12 and the Big 12 last time. When panic sets in, everyone just looks out for themselves.
Right.
So,
and that's what that seems to be the conference commissioners in these, they're stubborn and they believe their conference is better than other conferences. I feel like we see that quite often by the commissioners that run this. And that's their job, right, to defend their conference. But I seem like they act in that regard, too, and that could just cost the conference.
Nobody wants to give up the payday.
Right. But I'm saying, does it matter what conference you're in as long as you're surrounded by other teams? That's what kind of happened with the American Athletic Conference in a lot of ways. I mean, with the Big East imploding and all of that. So it exists. It was not a thing, and it happened because of conference realignment.
So then
it could happen again.
Then you're left with, if you're Memphis, you're left with this proposition, which is, all right, do we hold out for one of these? Or do we just make the deal with the Pac-12 or whatever it is now, the Pac whatever, rebrand as Memphis State.
X-Pac, I think.
Yeah, X-Pac. Rebrand as Memphis State, to go along with all the other states that are in that one. And basically, well, you're admitting, well, like, okay, we're not going to get the highest, what? The highest possible offer, which would be, let's be real, it's the ACC. If they were, if the Big 12 won in Memphis, they'd be in the Big 12. Like that, let's be clear on that.
Okay, but like, there, I don't think you have to admit that to do that. I mean, if we want to go back to last summer, I'm saying, so we're talking about this big donation, right? And he's pretty much this $7 to $15 million, $19 million of money saying, University of Memphis, do what you want to do with this money. And the idea that would you use that for the buyout right now? Because that is the part of the problem. That I feel like you should be still having the Pac-12 pay for the buyout. And that money could be used for something else. But because the deal's not great, but you do need to position yourself. If you're Memphis, you need to position yourself in the best case scenario for all the scenarios and that you just laid out. And that is the Pac-12. Like your best case scenario, if everything comes down crumbling, you want to be in the Pac-12 because you're in the best conference.
Correct.
That's not involved. If they start picking teams, they're going to look, will they look over you possibly as they look at the Pac-12? That is also a scenario. Like they could look at the Pac-12 teams before they look at Memphis. But if you're with the Pac-12 teams, then they're looking at you while they look at everybody else. And the best place to be when everybody starts come looking would be with the better teams in the Pac-12, because if it doesn't work out, you're in a great spot. If it expansion's happening, they're coming to that spot anyway. They're coming to look at the Pac-12 because they're going to look at the Pac-12. Teams are going to consider those teams when the expansion happens.
And everything that you just laid out is exactly why I don't think this money's actually going towards a buyout. Legal fees, the exit fees. You know what I think it's going towards?
What?
Revenue sharing. Paying the players. Because one of the other things that you're...
You can elevate your profile.
Well, it's not only that. It's if you're going to... If you're trying to be picked up, you have to demonstrate we are playing ball at the level that you're
this
playing
This donation
ball.
We've confirmed is to be used for sports.
For the athletic department, however they see fit. And now, my suspicion is this is not, I'm sorry, folks, I don't want to, if you're someone that's just focused on that. My speculation is this is going to go to paying the players.
Which I guess I'll ask you this, like, do you feel like, because we're in this era of paying players, so you need money for that too, right? There's got to have money for lots of things to be successful. And I don't think you can really change next season's football team very much, but would I rather, if I was super rich, donating money to the university, have my money be spent to help elevate the Tiger football program to the college football playoff status, or buy out of the conference right now? Which one would be more important for the Tigers long term? Is football success or getting to the Pac-12? Both of those things would be fantastic and what this program needs to make sure they remain on the radar for conference realignment. But if you had to pick one, Jeffrey, with your millions of dollars, would you invest it in the football program or would you say, let's get out of here?
I actually think this is a real Sophie's choice. And, and here's why.
Yeah.
Because I think...
So you're going to split your money. I'll do half this way, half this way.
Well, I think the instinct... Because you're the way I'm understanding it.
I'm saying, like, if there was a way to use my money
right.
to make sure the Tigers, to put them in the best position to be in the playoffs next year, which is, could, you know, the chances of how long their opportunity will be there to be in there next year is one of those years, right?
For sure.
And they're dwindling. But
so the reason why I'm interpreting it, because you're saying what is best long term. And I think
be successful in football or to be
the instinct, though.
We're playing Arkansas.
Think the way that question comes across to me is, or the way I interpret it is, it would lead you to go, well, long term, the best answer is to get in a better league. Here would be the issue, though. And this is why I think it's a real Sophie's choice.
Because if you use all your money to get into the better league, you have less money to pay your players.
And also, you can go and get into what is a, clearly to me, unquestionably, a more competitive league and a more interesting league.
In basketball and football, yes.
You could still spend a ton of money and have that league get left out of whatever the world looks like in 5 years.
But you'd at least be there and not here. But maybe there'd still be an opportunity to go there down the line that would be a better deal. There's also a thing, but I feel like
my gut says I think what makes the decision about going to the pack difficult is, while it's not 1,000% certain, it is signing your fate as in, this is the best we're going to do. You're unlikely to go.
I don't think you have to say that. I really don't. I don't think that's what you're saying. I'm saying,
I get what you're saying, but
I'm saying right now,
pragmatically, that's right probably now. What it's going to be.
Like, we're better than what we're in. Like, you, when you're doing that, if as a Memphian and I see that happen, and as University of Memphis graduate, I see that happen, and it's like, all right, you're right. We are better than the situation that we have been in. Let's go to something better. This is a better opportunity. This is where we should be. We should not be here in this conference that we're currently in, the American Athletic Conference. Let's go to this other one. This is better. The fans deserve better. The student athletes deserve better.
I think
even if they've got to take longer flights in this current,
I will say that I have noticed, though, that was something we talked about, like, in the summer of, well, you know, it's going to be tough on all the other
sports.
The
volleyball team has got to go out there.
What you have noticed is, now that people have gotten into it, there's been a lot more of like, what are we doing here? Like, this stuff doesn't make sense. I still think it's going to end up not mattering because I'm just going to believe football splits off when I see it. Because
do you think that Penny Hardaway could win the Pac-12?
Oh, no.
I'm just kidding.
We're not saying this.
We're supposed to be celebrating this big win over the winning the American Athletic Conference.
No, what I am saying
would be a huge celebration to win this new Pac-12, knowing that you're better than Gonzaga.
I think it's clearly an upgrade in both football and basketball. Not even close to me. What the issue, though, that I see is, I think we are heading to a world where the top of football is shrinking. I don't think it's going to expand. And so by hitching your wagon to them, I do think you seal your fate of, all right, this is the best you're making a risk assessment.
I don't see why that makes it, they would still not be on the top. Why would the ACC drop them from the top of their list? Cause they went to the Pac-12. They'll have the same thing.
I will tell you, when they go to the Pac-12, they're still going to be at the top of the ACC's list. It will be expensive to get out. You know that they're going to sign. Like, because the league.
Sure, that's the thing. They're going to have to pay an exit fee, and then they're going to have to pay another exit fee. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's like if you're going on vacation, you've got this toll bridge, and then like right down the road, you're paying another toll.
Correct.
Like, I need a damn sun pass. What is happening? But like.
Well, then you get the scam.
Like, you've been getting those texts. I've been getting texts that I was like, toll.
Yeah. And then I was doing that. I was like, when's the last time? Because my instinct was, this is.
You got one of these too? Like,
it was in the national headlines.
Yeah, in the,
I saw it. It's maybe like a month or two ago.
Yeah.
My first instinct was, this is a scam. But then it did in my head go, it's like, when is the last time I went through a toll? Like,
right. My parents live in Florida. And I'm like, what is happening? You know?
Yeah. I was trying to do the math. I was like, I don't even remember. Like, and how did they get my license?
This is the FTC.
Yeah.
Toll roads do not send text messages to non-account holders. If you receive a phishing text, please file a complaint. So you should not be getting a text unless you gave somebody your number. Anyway, but the point is, like, that's what it, I mean, Memphis is stuck in this situation where nobody else in the country is in it. Like, do you keep paying to try to, it seems like a scam. It seems like a scam.
I mean,
it is a scam.
I think the other thing is, the schedule is what it is. I think another frustration, and maybe it's something that's a little hard to articulate or to recognize. You know what a big problem that I have with the league right now is?
What?
I feel like Memphis, and I guess Tulane to a certain degree, but my biggest problem with it is, like, there's no one that really cares about sports. It's like, it's a bunch of schools that, like...
When you're saying Tulane is the one that cares the most, like, what world are we in? That is an academic institution, Jeffrey. And, like, that's the situation we're in, is that Tulane is the other school that cares the most about sports?
I want to give Tulane a little credit.
I'm giving them... deserve the credit, but
Tulane
I'm saying...
Tulane also did the move, though, of when they started winning a little bit, they're like... Well, this is kind of fun.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Like, kind of like bought in. Like, all right, let's do this.
I'm just saying, pause for a minute and think what world we're in, and that's your best And they are. They're the Memphis's partner in jumping or whatever whenever that happens. Well, I mean, let's go back to Jason. Did you get to listen to Jason John's interview earlier? If you were listening to it, Jeffrey, I know everybody was tuned in. They had Penny Hardaway on the show. Everybody was tuning in, as always, but especially now. Everybody stopped what they were doing and gave their undivided attention to that interview. It was awesome. If you haven't listened to it, make sure you go check out the podcast, 92.9 ESPN. Odyssey app, right?
Yep. Send
people,
nailed it.
Over there. But Penny, I think, was most interesting for me was Penny really calling out in a way, like he was pressured into it by our great host Jason and John, of really taking a stance on this conference has got to get better. Like there's some responsibility on these teams to schedule a better opponents and position themselves to help us out. Like when we beat them, we want more credit for beating these teams. When we lose to them, we don't want to be punished as much. And it comes down to these teams are not playing the right schedules,
yep,
that are going to help the conference in the long term.
Yep.
And that was a pressure, and that's all paraphrasing from that interview, but Penny did straight up say that, yes, pressure needs to be put on these teams to schedule better.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, sure, that's a short-term solution for your current place. And Memphis does it. I think we went through this college football playoffs, and in football, if you ask me, the money, would you do it to buy out of the conference or to buy to improve the football program? And I think, and you know, I'm a strong advocate. There's no question about it. On this stage, it's me and John are the most like, get into the Pac-12. What are you doing? I don't care. Find the money. Get in there. But I would say I'd probably spend it on football because right now, Memphis can get into the playoffs. You can get into the playoffs, and just like all these other great teams that got blown out in the first round, you can do that.
But hey, Memphis could. Boise didn't get blown out.
They did. I don't think they covered.
They
had a bye, though. They did have a bye, so they didn't get blown out in the first. They weren't even in the first
round. Yeah, but right? They hung around. Like they lost by like 17.
But Memphis can get in the playoffs. That's like you could still. That is something that is a realistic thing that could happen next year or the next year if you invest in it. And is that a better use of your money? Because if you're doing that, you're putting yourself on a high-profile stage. I don't know. We don't know yet the long-term effects of these blowouts. I really don't. I don't know what the long-term effects are of the blowouts. Because there's people make rash decisions really quickly last December when these games were happening. But Memphis,
we were making rash decisions at halftime of the first
game. Right, the first game.
I love all my Tennessee friends. But I want the receipts of every Tennessee fan that was moonwalking right on Indiana at half of the Notre Dame game.
Right.
And then I want to see 24 hours later, what did you say?
Yeah, what was that? What were you saying yesterday about Indiana not deserving to be there?
Uh-huh.
Right? I want Memphis to be the non-deserving team there next year, and they can do it. And they could do it on a consistent basis the way Memphis currently is. And it's going to be harder to win when you're in the Pac-12. And the travel schedule could be part of it, right?
Well,
and
road games are going to be brutal.
Right. So as far as football success, right now this is not a bad position to be in. But I still it is a tough decision on what I would do if I had all of that money, which I do not have.
All right, let's get back to the Grizzlies. CJ Hurt joins us next right here on Jeffrey Wright & Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby. If you enjoy football, football, and brotherly banter, be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys.
Here's some stories from my NFL playing days, goofy conversations about everyday life, giving you entertaining lessons on the pitches across the pond, fun, relatable guests, and what it means to live life on purpose.
New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday. Be sure to subscribe to Kicking It with the Crosbys on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
CJ Hurt is a Grind City media personality. You can see him every weekday on the Jessica Benson Show with CJ Hurt. You can also see him on the HBCU Huddle. Follow him on Twitter, on X, at ConRadicalness. CJ, we started the show with this, so I'll ask you. Are the vibes around the Grizzlies worse than the Grizzlies?
Yes. The vibes around the Grizzlies are worse than the Grizzlies. This is a team that, when it's all said and done, is a playoff team, and probably a playoff team with a home court advantage in at least the first round. But the vibes are of a team that is
going to miss the playoffs.
That is going to absolutely missing the playoffs in the process of potentially missing the postseason altogether. Like, these are the vibes of a team in that 10-11-12 range. And listen, I'll be honest. Not completely unjustified. All right, when you think about the way they've lost, and not just lost, the way they've played the past, what, 7-8 games, you forget because of wins, that if one free throw is made or two free throws made in that Suns game, that's a loss. The Magic game was another one of those last second type of wins for the Grizzlies. But this three-game skid could be 5 games, maybe 6 games. Now, it could also be a win streak, right? When you think about, okay, if the Grizzlies don't have these last 3 games come down to last-second buzzer-beater-type shot by the opposing team on FedEx Forum court, if the Grizzlies don't have it come down to that, the Grizzlies are winning those games. They have a nice little streak going. But unfortunately, they didn't. So, yeah, the vibes, I can understand why people have down-ish vibes as it pertains to the Grizzlies right now.
How much of it do you think it's, all right, losing 3 straight, and how much of it is, you know, we haven't seen Ja play, Jaren gets hurt, and I almost just wonder, because I'm kind of the opinion, and see if you agree with this, I think they're playing poorly. I also believe when you look at the course of a season, there are stretches where you're going to play poorly. I don't think that they're always, I don't think this is just what they're going to be the rest of the year. And so that's kind of how I'm viewing it. But I do understand, like, if you're pointing to their defense stinks, well, I kind of always thought their defense might have been smoke and mirrors to begin with. So I'm open to that discussion. But I think a lot of it is just, man, you're not seeing Ja on the floor, like, dominating. I think that's a big part of it.
Yeah, it's all of that is a part of it. The Jaren news, the Ja not on the court playing, and not when he's playing, he's not the all-NBA player that he was beforehand 2-3 years ago. And then you couple all of that with the losses and the way that the Grizzlies are losing and the teams that they're losing to here recently. It's all of that has created a perfect storm of malcontent within Grizz Nation. And again, I completely and totally understand. You're right on, hey, you're going to lose games during the season. But these games here feel like losses you should be experiencing in November, December, maybe in January, not in February and March. By now, you are what you are, and you should have things, a better grasp on your identity and the things that you want to do and the rotations that you want to use, even if two of your 3 star players are out, or even if you've got a couple of major contributors who are role players out. The rotations feel like they're still searching for something.
Yeah, I think that's a big part of the frustration,
you
too.
You can't be searching for stuff this late in the season.
I think you can. I think you have up until the playoffs.
Well, I mean, I think
I'm fine with it.
I honestly think there's a fan frustration, and again, this is not me questioning what they're doing, but I think there's a fan frustration when you hear, "Listen, we can't be worried about the standings. We got to get healthy." It's like, okay, that's reasonable, but everyone else is going, "Well, we're worried about the standings." Like, I think that leads to a frustration as well.
You got to know what everybody's roles are. And you ask an NBA player, you ask a player who's not a star, not somebody who commands the ball or the attention in the locker room, but somebody who plays and contributes, one of the things they'll tell you that helps them is consistency, is knowing, hey, I'm going to play X amount of minutes. I come into the game at this time. I go out at that time. I come back in at this time, right? Like having that consistency, knowing when you're going to be playing is huge. And right now there doesn't seem to be any sort of consistency with the lineups. I am fine with experimenting up until now. Now it is the home stretch. You're about to be less than 20 games remaining in the season. You've got to hone some of these things and work some of these kinks out. Not just with the rotations in game, like middle of the game, but also the rotations late in the clutch. Who's on the court and who isn't on the cut? Yeah, on the court, excuse me. Now, that last game, Jaren goes out with the injury, so Ja's not playing, Santi's not playing. I understand why that got kind of wonky. But those other two, if I remember correctly, you had everybody. And if I remember correctly, again, it was two different closing lineups. Now, I don't know if that's because you tried one and didn't like it, or
Brandon.
What, but
Brandon,
like,
also got hurt.
You've got to figure it out. Friday night,
Brandon got hurt. That you could tell, like, they were searching on that. But then I think the frustration on Saturday was, I think the way people viewed it was they made a decision to sit people thinking they were going to win, and they didn't. And that makes people even more mad.
Yeah, and listen, yes, that should make people mad. I understand why that makes people mad. But if you think this roster is good depth-wise, and I'm assuming you think that because when everybody's healthy, you're still running 10, 11-man lineups out there, I guess you've got a right to think that, hey, these guys are good enough to go out there and win a game against an inferior team. I think this has been eye-opening, particularly the last two games, because they aren't, right? So now what? You've been given opportunities, plural, to showcase what you can do, not necessarily Jaren, John, Dez, but some of these other role players, and you hadn't gotten the job done. The results aren't what we think the results should be. We thought you were a better lineup than the Hawks. We thought you were a better lineup than the Spurs. And that just wasn't the case. The Grizzlies wasted a 42-point performance from Jaren Jackson Jr. We wasted a 35-point triple-double, both of those from Desmond Bane. Both of those, while great for the individual, they came in losses. So those two players are having monster games. What are you doing around them? Role player, insert role player's name here. Because that's not enough to beat the Hawks. That's not enough to beat the Spurs. That sure as hell won't be enough to beat anybody good in the West in a 7-game series. So now where is your mentality and what's your mind state going forward if you're this coaching staff? What do you think about how many minutes you should be relying on or leaning on these other players in pivotal games? You're going to have to play them. Jaren, John, Dez are only three players. You need two more to be on the court. And those three can't play 48 minutes. Who else can you get out there to give you something positive? And I think you make those decisions. You cut this thing down to 7 or 8. And come hell or high water, those are the 7 or 8 you run out there. Everybody's had their time. Everybody's had a chance this year to showcase what they can do. And you go with the best options after Jaren, Dez, the next 4, next 5 best options. You say, all right, here we go. This is what we got. Everybody else, get ready for next season.
And I think the funny thing to me is the fickle nature of fans. If they were to win tonight, it's like the narrative entirely changes tomorrow. And it's still just one game. Like, you know what I mean? But it does feel like beating this team would kind of just if they could flip it. And again, they're underdogs for a reason. They're underdogs at home. And the last time we saw these two teams played and they had Jaren, it was over. Let's be real. It was over in the first half.
And this team wasn't healthy.
Yep.
The Thunder they're not 100% again tonight. I think Chet is out, maybe Caruso. I'd have to go back and double check that.
They're still going to have Shea.
That as long as you got a dude who can go for 50 in any given game on any given night, you're in good shape. And I would understand why the mood would change in the fan base if they go out there and get this win. Like this, that's because this Thunder's team is really, really good and is running away from everybody in the West, though a Western Conference that is really, really good and really deep and has a lot of quality teams in it. And the Thunder are the best one of those. So you go out there and you get this win, you can we'll throw the blanket back over all of the problems that this team has had for most of, if not all of the season. The role player situation, the turnover situation, the wide open three pointers that this team seems to give up on a nightly basis, defensively here recently, total defense here recently, defensive rebounding, right? We'll throw the blanket back over all of that stuff and pretend it's not there if they get the win tonight, and it will feel better. But those things are still there. Whether they're winning or not, those things are still an issue this year. And in a seven-game series against one of the good teams in the West, they will come back up, and you don't have a whole lot of time to figure everything out. It's 21 games left in the season. You would have hoped to have all of this figured out by now, and they're still trying to find answers and figure some things out.
So you think a win tonight would be false hope for the Grizzlies as far as like, hey, that is just a fluke win over the Thunder at home, 8:30 tip.
I agree with you. What you're just saying is the same problems, win or lose tonight, the same problems that they had today, they'll have tomorrow.
Yep. The same problems they have today, same problems they'll have tomorrow. I don't want to say fluke because I'm not sure if anything is fluky in the, what is this, the 70-something game of the season or the 60-something game of the season. But it would be a win that you could say, okay, finally we've gotten, because in order to win, you're going to have to take care of the ball. You're going to have to do a great job defensive rebounding. And looking at the injury report, somebody other than Jaren Dez is going to have to step up. So I think some might point to that and say, okay, look, they have figured something out. But I would caution because it's one game. Let's see what happens the rest of the way.
CJ, we appreciate it, buddy.
I appreciate y'all.
CJ Hurt of Grind City Media. When we come back, we'll tell your story next, right here on Jeff Wright and Company, 92.9 FM, ESPN. All right, Kevin, for today's Don't Tell These Story, tell your story. Well, you know how we've been getting all the leaked stories about what a problem Luka was in Dallas?
Oh, he was awful. They had to get rid of him.
Yeah. Now we got Jeannie Buss chiming in about Anthony Davis in L.A. We've lost the last 3 years in a row to the Denver Nuggets in the playoffs, and we really didn't have anything that was going to look different going into the playoffs again. Anthony Davis was complaining about where he was being played, and he wasn't happy. So I think this was a positive for both teams. They got what they were looking for, and we got what we were looking for. I just love it. You know, he's complaining about having to play the five.
That is great. Yeah. You know? That's the type of trade you like to see in the NBA. Everybody's benefiting. They're getting what they want.
They offered us Luka Doncic. We did that.
That's what we wanted.
If you missed anything, it'll be up on the podcast shortly after the program ends. For Dennis, for Kevin, this is Jeffrey saying thanks for listening. Keep listening. Gabe Kuhn Show is coming up next.